Good evening, Rabosai. I hope that everybody is well. The Torah tells us in Parshas Hazinu, Sh'alavicha v'yageidcha zikenecha v'yomrulach. Ask your parents and they will tell you, your elders and they will say. On a metaphorical level, Chazal understood this pasuk to refer to seeking halachic guidance. And while it feels like we live in unprecedented times, there is both halachic guidance available currently, and there have been previous historical incidents which have also created precedents and guidance. But on a pshat level, the Torah is teaching us to look to our parents and elders for counsel and wisdom, presumably because their longer tenure in this world has given them the life experience to deal with situations that seem new to us, but in reality, ein kol chadash tachas hashamesh. There's nothing new. However, in the times in which we find ourselves, on the most specific level, sha'al avicha v'yageidcha cannot be practiced, because our avos and zakenim themselves have never experienced this situation in their lifetimes. We live in a time of michutz tishak el cherev umeichad dorim eima. We are afraid to go out into the street because the sword of the Malach HaMavet has been unsheathed, and afraid to come back in for the dever that may accompany us. And even if most of you may, understandably, fear less because the Malach HaMavet in this case seems to spare the young, you still fear inviting him in where he might endanger your parents or your grandparents. So what then is the appropriate spiritual response? I think that there are two basic ways of approaching this challenge. One is looking backwards, and the other is looking forward. The first of these two approaches has some value, but is laden with danger. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Haroe Yisurin Bain Olav Yifash Pesh B'masav. If a person starts to experience suffering, he should look at his deeds and see if he's doing something wrong. If suffering is a result of sin, then the balm lies in identifying the transgression and remedying it. But the difficulty in this approach in our situation is threefold. Firstly, the process of introspection and identification of error is easier when the suffering is limited to an individual. An individual has the power to identify and attempt to remedy his or her own failings. It may even be true when a unified group, perhaps a nation, is suffering and attempts to identify its sin. But when the entire world is suffering, when a disease follows the maxim of lo yivaker bein tov l'ra, no distinction between the good and the bad, this approach will bear little or no fruit. Number two, there is a danger that when engaged in this process, our attention will be engaged outward, that is, not finding fault within ourselves, but rather with others. In effect, not umepnei chata'enu galinu me'artzenu, but umepnei chata'echa galinu me'artzenu. Aside from both the egocentrism and hubris of thinking that one is yodea das elyon, that one understands how God works, this also happens, according to the Mishnah Bava Metziah, to violate the Torah prohibition of onas dvarim. And finally, number three, the very same sugya in Brachos that speaks about yifash pesh b'masav concludes with the very real possibility that there will be no comprehensible cause for the suffering, what the Gemara terms yisurin shel ahava. Similarly, at least in the end result, if not in the mechanics, the Gemara in the fifth parak of Shabbos records a discussion of whether there is yesh yisurin below avon, whether there can be suffering without sin, or ein yisurin below avon, the position of Rabbi Ami, that any suffering has to be linked to sin in some way. The Gemara's conclusion in Shabbos is unequivocal. Tiufta de Rabbi Ami tiufta. The Gemara assumes that yesh yisurin below avon, there can be suffering without being able to identify a sin. The alternative approach, and I think the much more productive one, is looking forward. We, Rabosai, have been dealt a really bad hand. The only question that we have to answer is, how do we play that hand? There is much suffering in the world, and trying to explain it, as I have suggested, is mostly fruitless. The best way to make suffering meaningful is to use it as a stimulus to do better, to make ourselves better as human beings and as Avdei Hashem, to make the lives of people around us better, to make the world a better place. Of course, this may be easier said than done. Before this crisis struck, life was already challenging. The economic challenges in many parts of our community and much of our society were not small. The inequalities in our world, both our community and in broader society, regardless of their causes and what the best solutions are, were already great. And the crisis has only exacerbated matters. If so many in our world have been grappling with issues of mental health, this crisis has been like pouring salt in the wound. It brings to mind HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mild rebuke to the prophet Yirmiyahu when he was complaining about his mistreatment at the hands of his fellow priests. And God says to him, Ki es raglim ratzta vayalucha, ve'eich tisach ares asusim, uve'eret shalom atavoteach, ve'eich taseh begon hayardein. If you're running out of breath, if you can't handle it when they're chasing you on foot, what's going to happen when the horses start chasing you? If circumstances were a struggle for so many before the pandemic, then we have been cast from the frying pan into the fire. What is the path forward? The first aspect of the response is to recognize who we are. It is often said and has been said frequently in recent weeks, including by Orthodox publications and some rabbis, that Judaism's supreme value is the preservation of life, pikuach nefesh. This statement, while well-intended, is both halachically and hashkafically incorrect. Undoubtedly, pikuach nefesh plays a highly significant role in many halachic contexts. But there are three specific mitzvos, avodah zarah, gilei arayos, and shvichos damim, which rank above the preservation of life. And this outranking of pikuach nefesh is not merely a technicality, a technical question, but rather a manifestation of a fourth commandment, which lives at the apex of all mitzvos and Torah values. And that is the commandment of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah explains that if one violated one of these three mitzvos under duress because of ones, and instead of sacrificing his or her own life, that person has not violated the commandment by dint of this coercion of avodah zarah, of gilei arayos, of shvichos damim, but rather one has failed to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and has violated the prohibition of v'lo sichah l'lu Hashem kodshi, desecrating the divine name. The single most important value in Torah Judaism is Kiddush Shem Shemayim, above all and everything. The mitzvah of preserving human life, of pikuach nefesh, recognizes the infinite value of every human being by virtue of his or her being endowed with the Tzelem Elokim. But it also taps naturally into our innate Darwinian nature of being living creatures whose first and foremost desire is to survive and pass on our genes. But dying al Kiddush Hashem can only be a reflection of our Tzelem Elokim. Being created in the image of our Maker means that we are not primarily Darwinian living beings struggle to survive. Rather, we live first and foremost to serve our Creator, to be Avdei Hashem. For Darwinian creatures, death is the end. It is meaningless. But for a human being to die al Kiddush Hashem is in some ways the ultimate recognition that we are created in the image of God. It is what provides us with meaning in a world which often feels empty of meaning. In a strange way, the eeriness of the most almost empty public places and highways with so few cars, and this was especially true 3-4 weeks ago, is almost a metaphor for so many parts of our society that have been bustling physically, but empty of meaning. We have the power under all circumstances to choose lives of meaning. Real meaning is achieved by recognizing that survival is not the primary goal in our lives. Dying to serve God creates purpose in life. But in truth, Tov asher te'achoz bazeh v'gam mizeh al panachas yodecha. Even better than dying al Kiddush Hashem is living al Kiddush Hashem. That is acting in a selfless manner, which is often against our own self-interest, at least in the short term, if not in the long term as well, or against our instinctual desires. And that is the challenge that is facing each and every one of us, every day, all the time, but especially now, when we get up in the morning. The Torah tells us in the Tochacha and Parshas Kisavo, Baboker tomar miyitein erev, uva erev tomar miyitein boker. In a pshat sense, the Torah speaks of an existence so miserable that the only thing one hopes for in the morning is for the day to pass, and of nights so foreboding and dark that one only hopes for the night to pass. But this is true only when an individual lives gripped with fear. One tries to hang on to survive until the day and until the night is over. This is a natural reaction. In our circumstances, some people will hunker down in the spirit of Chavi kimat rega ad yavar za'am until the pandemic has passed, although it seems that in the scope of the way we measure time, it is certainly more than a rega. But in doing so, we miss an opportunity. Given our druthers, I would like to think that every one of us would like to go back in time and be dealt a different hand, or wish that some magical solution will come down from heaven. But the reality is that we have two choices. We can close our eyes, live in fear, and wait for redemption, or we can choose to embrace our unchosen journey. We can allow the challenges to define us, or we can choose ourselves to define who we are. If we rise to this challenge, we can emerge at the end of the tunnel much stronger. But we must understand that we cannot control everything that is going on. We can only control our own reactions. Every morning that we wake up during this pandemic, we have the opportunity to define who we really are. Are we Darwinian creatures, or are we Avdei Hashem? I would like to suggest to you that how we spend our time during this enforced confinement will reflect and define who we really are. First, let me note that we are approaching the end of the semester and are about to start finals. Under ordinary circumstances, this is a difficult time where there are temptations to cut ethical corners. But under our current circumstances, the temptation to do so will be even greater, especially if we see or perceive that others are doing so and we risk falling behind. Please, Rabbosai, don't fall prey to this temptation. Please remember that you are not incredibly intelligent Darwinian animals fighting to advance yourselves. You are Avdei Hashem, created in the image of God with the capacity to choose between Tov and Ra, no matter what anybody else is doing. One who cuts corners may get ahead in the proverbial sense, but strips his or her life of genuine meaning. There are so many factors that you can't control in terms of getting ahead. But there is one thing that you have absolute control over in this world: your integrity. No one can ever take your integrity away, but you can give it away. Remember, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the first question a person is asked on his or her Yom Adin is Nosasa v'nosata be'emuna. And then will come the world post-finals and papers. Most of you had plans for the summer. Some of you may have been planning a big wedding, and that's not going to happen. We cannot exercise control over that, but the question is, what do we do instead? We have already seen many couples choose to get married in the barest minimum of weddings rather than wait a few months with the hope that normal will come again. To me, this is one of the bright rays of light that I have seen in this gloomy darkness. Chasanim and Kalos who understand what is important. A few months more extra of being together in life is worth much more than a fancy $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 wedding, or even more than a minimalist wedding for that matter. We've basically seen Kiddushin, Chuppah, and Don, Kiddas Moshe v'Yisrael. These people will be prepared to answer the third question of the Yom HaDin, Asakta b'Piria v'Rivia. Most of you probably had plans for job, camp, internship, etc. And many of those things, as it stands now, will, to everybody's chagrin, not happen. So where does that leave you? Some of you will need to help your families in one way or another. If you're among the very fortunate, your family's livelihood will not have been greatly impacted till this point, or at least not enough that you need to try to find temporary work to help make ends meet for your family. And I am well aware that this is not true for everybody. But even so, you may be needed to help with siblings while your parents or a parent works, or to do housework or other errands to relieve the burden on your parents. But if you're not needed for that, you will have a large supply of the most precious entity on this planet, and that will be your real test. And by that entity, I refer to time. Looking around at our broader society, one of the really interesting sociological impacts on those whose livelihood has not been devastated is the loss of entertainment. People have all this time on their hands and nothing new to watch, particularly sports. We are now getting documentaries, old playoff reruns to fill the time. The Last Dance. People are bored. They have nothing to do. To me, this is eye-opening, even though it shouldn't be. It's not that I've never watched sports, or even now on occasion don't see a few minutes of sports. But the idea that if someone doesn't have sports and entertainment, that they don't know how to fill their time, serves as a reminder of Baruch Hu she'bara'anu l'chvodo v'hivdilanu min ha'toim v'nasan lanu taras emes v'chayi olam nata b'sochenu. Torah and Avodas Hashem is such an incredible gift. If we suddenly find ourselves with nothing to do and have all this time, what then? The answer is that there is always so much to be done in this world. There is so much Torah to be studied. There is so much knowledge of God's world to be accumulated. There are so many people, both in our community and our broader society, in need of one kind or another. Vulnerable people who can't go out, who need things taken care of for them. People who are isolated and so lonely, who need a human voice, who need someone to spend time with them. Yes, even if it does mean more Zoom, or maybe when the weather is nice, just to sit outside their window. Your parents can use the extra hands. Your siblings need help or attention. And I make a special appeal while this pandemic is still happening. I would encourage those of you whose habit generally is to torture your siblings to put it on hold. If you have all of this time now, what are you going to do with it? I like to say that if you want to understand something about a person's true ethical character, you would get them to answer in an unguarded moment the question of what would they do with their money if all of a sudden they won the big Powerball jackpot lottery. This, Rabosai, was not a lottery any of us hoped to win. But if all of a sudden you have this incredible abundance of time on your hands, what are you going to do with it? The second question the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that they ask a person on his or her Yom HaDin is kavata itim l'Torah. Not did you study Torah, but was the study and fulfillment of Torah, Avodas Hashem and all of its manifestations, your keva? Was it kavata? Was it the primary way you filled your time? Rabosai, we are all not by choice on a journey. We don't know if it's a derech harucha or a derech kitsara, although it already feels like a derech harucha. The fourth question a person is asked on the Day of Judgment, I am certain that every one of us is fulfilling. See, pisa li Yeshua, you hope for the salvation. We don't know when we will arrive at the final destination. We cannot control what we cannot control, but we can choose to embrace the journey as best as humanly possible in a manner of avdei Hashem. We can dread the next day and let fear consume us. Or we can say, Bo'erev tomar mi yitein boker. We can embrace the opportunity that the next day and that every day will bring. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that David HaMelech was told that he would die on Shabbos. The thought that his body would lie there untended caused him much anguish. After being told that a single day's reprieve till Sunday would not be possible, because ein malchus nogas bechaverta kimlonima, he couldn't take even a minute away of Shlomo's time. David then asked to move his death up one day to Friday. To that, the Ribbono Shlom responded, ki tov yom b'chatzerecha me'elef. The Gemara says, tov li yom echad shata yoshev v'osek b'torah. One day that you sit engaged in the study of Torah is more important to me, me'elef olos she'osid Shlomo bincha la'akru l'fanei agabei mizbeach, to the 1,000 olos that Shlomo would bring on the Mizbeach on the day of the inauguration of the Mikdash. Every day is a glorious opportunity to serve the Ribbono Shlom. At some point, this particular journey will end. May the Merciful One bring us there quickly. It will be accompanied by a sense of relief and maybe even a sense of joy. But the goal of any Eved Hashem is not to feel happiness, not that there's anything wrong with feeling happy, but to feel fulfillment, the fulfillment of genuine and honest accomplishment, both mundane and spiritual. Yigia kapecha kisochal ashrecha v'tovlach. May it be the will of our Father in heaven that he deliver us and all of humankind from this tzara quickly. And may he grant all of us the strength and fortitude to prevail and to do so in a way that when we look back at these events, we will be able to say, Kavanu itim la Torah, that even in the least ideal circumstances, we used our precious time to serve God by engaging in Avodas Hashem at every opportunity and sanctifying his holy name in this world. Good night.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Amen.
Thank you.